This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to another Cravings podcast with Pete Dillon, online at joy.org.au/cravings and live Saturdays from 1pm on Joy 94.9 in Melbourne, exploring all that's finest in food and beverage across Melbourne and Victoria. Sponsored by La Spaghettata, over 35 years of food, family and fun at 238 Lygon Street, Carlton. Wine and dine with La Spaghettata for an authentic Italian experience. Pasta, wine, seafood, steak and so much more. Dine in and enjoy the authentic sights and sounds of Lygon Street. Or order takeaway now via Deliveroo, Uber Eats or Foodora. Eat, drink, love with La Spaghettata. Call 9663 6102. Visit laspaghettata.com.au or find them on Facebook.
You've reached another Joy 94.9 podcast.
The hottest event on the LGBTIQ calendar is the Sydney Gay and Lesbian Mardi Gras.
And this is Joy.
Thanks to our Joy sponsors, Virgin Australia, who'll fly you there, Airbnb, who'll put you up for your stay, and GoGet, who'll drive you around in style.
Then have the time of your life celebrating the Mardi Gras Parade with a view money can't buy at the Joy 94.9 VIP broadcast.
An unforgettable experience you don't want to miss.
For a chance to win, donate $5 to Joy via joy.org.au.
Enter as many times as you like. There's no limits.
The more times you donate $5, the more chances you have to win.
But do it before Feb 17.
T's and C's apply. See joy.org.au.
The joy of summer.
The joy of Mardi Gras.
Joy 94.9.
My name is Tad Lombardo. You're listening to Cravings on Joy 94.9. Today we have some incredible guests to join us on the show. We've got in the studio with myself, Peter Dillon's got the day off. We have Chef Paul Wilson, and on the phone in Perth, we've got Jordan Bruno. We're going to start with Jordan Bruno. We've got a few questions to ask about a few different things. Jordan, can you hear us?
Yeah, how's it going, guys?
Really good. How are you going? How's it over in Perth?
Yeah, good, good. The weather's a bit rainy here the last few days, but we've had a hot summer so far, so it's not too bad.
Cool. And last year you were an MKR semi-finalist. You're also the author of a cookbook called The Gay Chef, and in your words,
yep,
not to sound like Donald Trump, a huge mama's boy ambassador for gay rights.
Yeah, it's been the best thing to come from the show, so it gets to represent the gay community and do a bit of work for them, so it's a bit of an honor.
That's great. And how's life been since the show finished up? I mean, you running around crazy busy?
Busy to say the least. I'm flying between Melbourne, Sydney and Perth a lot. So we've got a couple of contracts. So we've just been cooking up a storm. Even got a couple of tourism contracts, which has been amazing. And then
good.
Otherwise, yeah, just life-changing. Nothing's quite been the same since.
That's pretty cool. And you've authored a cookbook. Do you want to tell a little bit about that?
Yes, yeah, so I published a cookbook towards the end of last year called The Gay Chef. Essentially, it just talks about my coming out story and how I turned to food as a source of creativity when I wasn't coping too well with my sexuality.
Yeah.
And then it's designed with coming out stories from LGBT people in the Australian community and stories of depression, anxiety, and how they overcame it. And then all profits from the cookbook have gone to Headspace Charity and also Minus 18 Charity,
yeah,
raising funds for these organisations that do have a LGBT focus.
Oh, that's pretty incredible.
Yeah, it was a big project, but yeah, a lot of fun.
Yeah, and if somebody wants to get a copy of your book, how would they go about doing that?
Yeah. So all you have to do, it's real simple, is head to my website, jordanbruno.org or jordanbruno.com.au, and then the link to the cookbook is there, and it's 100% free. I wanted everyone to have access to it from all age ranges, so you don't have to pay a price, but then it does ask if you can donate to one of the charities,
yeah,
at whatever price you think is appropriate. It has them with the actual cookbook, so you can follow through and make a donation.
Oh, that's really good. And how's it been going so far? Getting a lot of downloads of it and people?
Yeah,
you know,
so we've released about 7,000.
Yeah.
And raised close to $10,000 for the two charities. So the response has been really good.
Yeah.
And I've had a lot of messages from young LGBT people in the community saying it's actually helped them a lot, which is why I started it. So to even get one response like that made it all worth it. But to get a few makes it, yeah, really worthwhile.
That's great. And the inspiration for a lot of the recipes are basically from home. Is that right?
Yeah, well, 100%. My mom's an amazing cook. And, yeah, she taught me a lot of the recipes, and they're just the ones that I've grown up with. But they're very homey, warm recipes. There's a few healthy inspirations and then just some quick ones as well. So a bit of variety in there. But, yeah, it all stems from cooking with my beautiful mom.
That's great. And of course, I'm sure people remember your mom from the show as well. The two of you. Yeah. And how has her life changed since the show finished up?
Well, quite vastly. So she's opened up a cooking school.
Yeah.
So she does a couple of classes a week. And then otherwise, she kind of travels around Australia with me a bit now. And, yeah, I mean, she loves it far more than, she loves it a lot more than I do, to be honest. Like, she gloats about it.
Right.
Even when she books it. Reservation at a restaurant, she calls them, she's like, and just so you know, it's Anna Bruno from, and I tell her, I'm like, oh my god, you didn't, did you? But yeah, she laughs.
Bit of name dropping.
Yeah, exactly. She's a little bit of a fame.
Oh, that's cool. And you're a twin, right? You're one of a pair, is that right?
Yes, I do have a twin brother.
Yeah.
So I use him a lot as my in my gay campaign. So my whole family's for marriage equality, yeah. Obviously, and thankfully. So, yeah, I like to use him as a testing point. We've both been in long relationships and we both want similar futures. So he's kind of my direct comparison tool that I like to give people that are struggling with the concept of why LGBT people should have equal rights and
right.
Equal marriage rights in particular.
That's great. And which one of you guys is the evil twin?
The evil twin, to be honest, probably me. He's so sweet and nice. Not that I'm evil per se, but I'm probably more naughty than he is.
Okay, well, that's all right. You can change roles every now and again too. I'm sure it's all right.
Yeah, exactly. I might switch in a couple of years. Who knows?
Yeah. And what's next for you? You're off to Mardi Gras, is that right?
Yes, so we'll be at also Pride, and then I come back to Perth for a few nights, and then at Mardi Gras.
Yeah.
Actually going over to represent Gay Ski Week Queenstown. So,
oh, okay.
I'm an ambassador for them, and they have an amazing winter gay holiday. So I'll be doing some promotions and releasing some deals at Sydney Pride. So if you're there, come check me out, please, and I can tell you all about it. But it's pretty amazing what they're doing there. It's very community-based. Yep.
That's great.
Otherwise, I do a bit of food marketing now, and I've got a contract with Coles, so a lot more cooking.
Oh, that's really good.
Why would I just show you? Amazing sense, yeah.
That's great. And I read an article that it was, you know, a couple of days before Christmas, you were actually involved in an accident.
Yes, is that right? So I was involved in a car accident.
Yeah.
With four other men, and just this week, they caught them last week.
Great.
And I've actually just done the lineup for them this week, so I will be going to court to press charges. So
good.
It's dragging on a little bit. This all happened before Christmas, and yeah, just in the process of organising a court date now and then going through and following up, and hopefully
great.
There's consequences for them.
Yes, well, there should be, that's for sure. And but you're okay in the end other than being shaken up, is that's right?
I was okay. To be honest, look, they were saying some very hateful words towards the gay community in particular. And then they just went ahead and beat up my car and myself,
right.
Which wasn't ideal, obviously. And then, yeah, it was a bit of a shock. I've never been exposed to anything like that, but it just shows how far we have to go.
Yeah, and I think, I'm really glad that you're okay, and I think it's important, too, that these things really need to be reported, which is, you know, sometimes hard when you're a victim of it.
Yeah, there needs to be consequences.
Yeah.
And you need to follow through and make sure they are prosecuted. It is a process. It is time-consuming, and it might not be worth it in the short term, but in the long term, you might be saving someone else.
Definitely. Well, listen, thank you so much for speaking with us today, and we'll get in touch again and have you on the show again sometime soon. Thanks for everything.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You have a good day, and have a good morning in Perth.
You too. Have a good day in Melbourne. All the best.
Thank you. You too. We're going to listen to a few messages from our sponsors and service announcements, and we will be back with Paul Wilson.
Hey there, it's Jace, head of Joy Production, here to talk up our Joy podcast service. Last month, our community downloaded around 34,000 Joy podcasts. Check them out when you get a bit of downtime and find out why our audience is loving what's on offer. Visit joy.org.au/podcasts to view our most recently posted episodes. Head to iTunes or your podcast app to find your favorite program. A mix of content you might have missed live and a range of fresh podcast material you'll only find on podcast. It's easy to subscribe to the program of your choice, whether you're viewing at joy.org.au or on your phone, which means you won't miss any future episodes. Get away from your busy day. Joy Podcasts, where you want them, when you want them, at joy.org.au and via iTunes.
Welcome back to Cravings. My name is Tad Lombardo, and Peter Dillon has the day off today. It is about 1:15, and it's 21 degrees outside at the moment with a top of 26 expected. With me in the studio today is Chef Paul Wilson. Paul's been credited with serving some of Australia's most exciting food. The restaurants that are associated with your name are actually quite incredible. The list is, you know, Prince of Wales Hotel, Circle Bar and Restaurant, Eklund Street Cantina, and the list goes on, as well as the accolades, the chef hats, the, you know, chef of the year. And he's also an author of several books. So we're going to be talking about the most recent book and also the most recent restaurant. Welcome to the show, Paul. Thank you for coming in.
Thanks, Tad. Thanks for having me. I can't believe you gave Pete the day off as well.
I didn't actually give it to him.
He's on a beach somewhere.
He's on a beach getting a massage somewhere.
Lucky
so,
man.
Yeah, well, we'll talk to him about that later. But no, he does wish that he could be here. So we had a bit of a technical issue with his Wi-Fi. So his satellite link up wasn't going to be working very well.
All that sunblock got in the way.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, tell us about what's happening in your world. The new restaurant is... you know, it's been credited by Gourmet Traveler as one of the most anticipated openings of 2017.
Oh, so. They're very nice at Gourmet. It's been a titanic couple of years getting this restaurant built and, you know, got fun and games with local council and a bit of, you know, politics with the wonderful Pram Market. But, you know, all that said, it's looking incredible. And I had a great opportunity to write a book during that period about one of my favorite food cultures in Mexico. It's a taqueria cookbook. It's basically new style, fun, friendly Mexican cooking, celebrating the taco and highlighting some of the sort of extraordinary suppliers we have in Australia and some of the amazing ingredients we grow here, very similar to Latin America. And we've got a very similar climate. I just wanted to sort of, you know, expose real Mexican food to the Australian community. There's a lot of fun Mexican food, which is not necessarily authentic and authentically flavoured. So I thought it'd be great to sort of showcase some really interesting flavours and some great ingredients.
Was that your therapy for dealing with the restaurant?
That's a very good way of putting it. It was therapy, actually. Yeah. No, certainly when you build a restaurant, you're not thinking about things you love, like food and beverages and design. You're thinking about sort of stressful things like builders and budgets. And so writing a cookbook was probably got me over the line, I guess. And seeing that sort of published in December was wonderful, and it's selling well. So it's sort of a nice little segue into what we're doing with the restaurant, which is sort of not a non-typical restaurant. You know, we're trying to sort of mix things up because we're at a very important food destination, the Pram Market, and we want to sort of, we feel the area needs something which connects to the community and it's fun and exciting and interesting. It's got a great design story, really amazing seasonal produce, mostly biodynamic produce. So it's got a real sort of well-being aspect. We're hero in certain things you celebrate at the market. So amazing seafood, amazing ethically raised meats, biodynamic vegetables, your wonderful chocolate, some fantastic coffee, all the things we all love at the Pram Market you'll find in our restaurants.
That's incredible. And with the design concept for the restaurant, you know, can you go into a little bit about that, just to give the listeners a bit of an idea of what they can expect when they...
Absolutely. We want to choose a design team which is sort of new and up and coming. We've got some amazing designers in Australia, especially in the restaurant space. And once they become popular, they really do. And so every restaurant you see is done by the same team, which is, you know, great for them. But then, you know, how do you keep the sort of wheel turning? So we thought we'd bring a new team in, Kessie Lane Studio. She does a lot of luxury homes. And we gave her a brief of creating this sort of sexy market vibe at night with a sort of luxe urban edge. I think Melbourne, when I arrived here 15 years ago, was a very edgy sort of urban landscape. And we had, you know, real cool designers like Chris Connell and really beautiful sort of restaurants, which are understated.
Yeah.
So we try to bring a bit of that sort of restraint to the design aspect, but it's still very interesting, lots of great textures and colours and materials. And certainly by day has a really different vibe to by night.
Yeah.
Got a 6-metre cocktail bar. And we've got a beautiful glass house being built over the front of our restaurant, which have a very lush tropical feel. So it's a real escape from the daily grind, you know, and so you step into this sort of wonderland of design and food and great drinks.
That's amazing. I've had the opportunity to peek my head in the window a little bit here and there, and it is exactly all that that you described as the concept. It certainly has come to full life now, and it won't be too much longer, I think, that...
Definitely. It's a big project, and, you know, if you're smart, you try and do it in a sort of civilized way. You want an evolution rather than a revolution, Tad, you know?
Yes.
And so we're doing it in three stages. We're opening a tuck shop, which is like a gastronomic hole in the wall, which as you enter the market, you turn left, you'll see a beautiful mural painted by a local artist. And it's basically a wonderful coffee plant, and that's sort of, it's like a sort of... signature to sort of say you can get amazing coffee here by St. Ali. There's some great street drinks based on drinks I saw in Latin America. When you visit the markets in Latin America, there's so many exotic fruits. They make wonderful cold-pressed sort of iced teas. They're a great pit stop when you're traveling through the market. You need a little bit of energy, you know. Shopping
great,
gets
though.
A bit stressful.
Refreshing,
There's some wonderful chocolate dishes by a very famous pastry chef called Tad Lombardo, you might know.
Thank you.
And we've spent a couple of hours at St. Arley Coffee pairing chocolate to coffee, because you have single origin coffee. Why not have single origin chocolate, and why don't they go together? And we discovered some great flavour matches, I think, that day.
That was fun. It was a lot of fun.
And the Colombian coffee, which we're serving, it's got lovely nutty caramelised chocolate sort of notes and goes really well with Tad's cake. So you can have a lovely chocolate and coffee hit all in one go. And then you've got some great sandwiches and street foods, biodynamic salads. We've got a rotisserie and a smoker, which is will cook lovingly low and slow meats. And some beautiful vegetable sort of flavours with the meats, like braised brassicas with tomatoes and anchovies, and porchetta rolls with pumpkin marmalade, and wood-roasted organic chicken with avocado and biodynamic rocket, celeriac and tarragon remoulade. I mean, I'm getting hungry talking about
it. Yes, I am too.
Tad, you know, it's going to be a very, very sort of exciting place to sort of grab something to eat and drink and then do your shopping.
But it's also, it sounds like it's an experience that people are going to have as well with the design of the restaurant. They're going to be able to go there and really let their head on and relax and enjoy the food and the drink and or the coffee or whatever it is that they're going there for. And it's kind of like an oasis amongst this craziness of the Paran market that it can be sometimes.
That's very well put. It is really an oasis. We sort of call it a lifestyle cafe, where you can go and feel good and switch off and recharge your batteries and, you know, and do things which make you feel good.
Which is important nowadays. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on out in the world, and I think it's important to go and to be able to get a good cup of coffee or a nice piece of cake or whatever it might be, just to enjoy it a bit more.
No, we deserve it. I mean, we're so much pressure to sort of live fast and work hard and forget about relaxing sometimes. And it doesn't have to be around alcohol too. It can be around sort of, you know, good, healthy, well-being centric food and beverage, which gives you energy and it makes you feel better.
Yes.
I think that's really important. Food should nourish you and make you feel better. And you can have some fun in the evening, of course, but, you know, during the day, you want to go somewhere where, you know, you feel good about what you've eaten and drunk, you know.
And I guess also knowing that it's the quality of the produce has been literally handpicked from the market, which is right there, and then expertly prepared, and you know, whether it's an ethical meat or a, you know, produce that's been you know, lovingly grown by a farmer, you know, not that far out of Melbourne, that sort of thing, which is really part of it as well, isn't it? And keeping things local if you can.
We're blessed with such amazing markets in Melbourne. We're spoilt with local produce, which is unparalleled to most cities in the world. Everything grows a couple of hours away. It's fresh out of the farm to your table. I mean, food you find in the supermarket, sadly, is, you know, from all over the world, it's out of season. It's mostly grown with sort of support from various sort of, you know, sort of genetically modified, for want of a better word, and we're sort of promoting natural food, and the food you find at the prem market, I mean, everyone says it's an expensive market, but, you know, you're paying for someone who's been on his hands and knees planting seeds and nurturing his fields and, you know, and bringing wonderful food to you, you know.
It's interesting you say that, because being a trader at the market myself for many years now, you do hear that a lot of people have that feedback that it's an expensive market. And I have to disagree, actually, because, you know, quality costs something. You're not going to get quality for nothing. If you're buying a Mercedes-Benz, it's going to cost you more than a lesser quality vehicle. And I also think at the market, too, you're also getting people's expertise, and you're getting an education. Every one of the traders there know they're experts in their field. And that's all part of it. It's part of the overall experience. So, I think a lot of times that the market gets a bum rap for that, because it's actually not, when you really look at it.
Very much so. Yeah. I mean, you know, look, thankfully it's not for everyone, because it's more for you and I, if you know what I mean.
Yeah,
more
definitely.
For the people that love food.
Yeah.
But, you know, you are what you eat. And when you have proper, you know, naturally raised food versus supermarket food, it's night and day. It's like, I know, single origin coffee versus Nescafe. They're both coffee, but they don't taste the same.
That's right.
So it depends how much you value what you eat. And,
that's right.
You know, certainly it's an important part of your life.
Well, it is. And I think people are willing, you know, people work really hard these days. They have to. And I think when they want to let their hair down and, you know, go out to a restaurant, they're willing to pay for that sort of, you know, that quality, and to know that they are eating something that's been, you know, prepared and prepared well. And, you know, from the point of growing all the way to the table. And I think, you know, that's the beauty of, you know, your concept for the restaurant is kind of really encompasses all that.
Yeah, we want to remind people, you know, how special Melbourne is and how special our food is and our farmers, how talented they are. And and people like yourself and some of our butchers and fishmongers and the people behind the cheese and everything has a wonderful story and a wonderful commitment, which, you know, you don't always get these days in restaurants. It's obsessed with trends and obsessed with sort of, you know, food cultures which are sort of fashionable. You know, it doesn't really sort of speak about the food we grow.
No, that's right. And we definitely want to talk more about that. We're going to take a quick break, and we will speak more with Paul Wilson.
Cravings will be back shortly, so don't go too far. But if you do miss anything, you'll hear it on the Cravings Podcast at joy.org.au/cravings via iTunes or your favourite podcast site. Sponsored by La Spaghettata. Over 35 years of food, family and fun at 238 Lygon Street, Carlton. Wine and dine with La Spaghettata for an authentic Italian experience. Pasta, wine, seafood, steak and so much more. Eat, drink, love with La Spaghettata. Call 9663 6102. Visit laspagatata.com.au or find them on Facebook.
My name is Tad Lombardo, and you're listening to Cravings. In the studio with me today is Chef Paul Wilson, and we're going to continue to talk about his new restaurant venture and a little bit more about the book. Paul, we were just talking during the break about Commercial Road and how it's sort of experiencing a kind of a rebirth or a renaissance, if you'd like to say. It certainly is. The face of Commercial Road is certainly changing a lot, and it is coming back to life, obviously with the help of your restaurant. And it's really exciting to see that happen. I mean, like I said, I've been at the market for a while, and there was a bit of a downturn on Commercial Road, and a lot of businesses packed up and left, unfortunately. But it's so nice to see that changing.
Yeah, I think all the amazing work a lot of the restaurateurs and bar owners have done in sort of Chapel Street, Windsor, sort of giving them a lot more confidence that there's sort of opportunity there. And I think Commercial Road is a bit of a sleeping giant. It's just a segue to some great suburbs, Armadale and most of South Yarra. And then you have the sort of all the fun of Chapel Street, and you're very close to Bayside too.
So,
it's a great opportunity. And I think you'll see a lot more restaurants and bars come into the area. Because of, you know, there's opportunity.
So,
very excited. Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting because when I first moved to Melbourne 21 years ago, Commercial Road was sort of the gay epicenter. And then that, as businesses moved out, that changed, obviously, and it shifted to other parts of Melbourne. So, you know, from that point of view, it is really nice to see new life in the place, and you know, it's just going to be incredible. And your restaurant, there's outdoor seating as well, is that right?
Yeah, we've kind of captured a bit of the market square, which is there's a bit of a sort of 3-year plan with Prayer Market. They really want to rejuvenate that square. So there's some new tenants coming in, which will add sort of quality food and beverage to the traders and the shoppers. And then at the front, we've got this sort of glass sort of structure over the front of our restaurant, which creates a sort of outdoor-indoor bar for 80 people.
Wow.
So really good sort of people-watching opportunity and just chilling out and having some lovely food and great wines by the glass. And our wine sort of philosophy is created by one of the legends in our industry, up-and-coming legends, Virginia Selleck. She's worked for all the great sort of wine experts at Rockpool with David Lawyer and the Prince Wine Store with Philip Rich, and she was the sommelier at Bellotta, and now she's going out on her own with a new wine company called Magnums & Queens, amazing online wine distribution business. You check that out, Magnums & Queens, and essentially she's writing our wine list, and the brief is to really be disruptive and you know, reshape the way we think about wine and wine and food, and particularly wine with seafood and vegetables. And we've got one of the best barmen creating a really interesting list about white spirits. We've had a great sort of renaissance in cocktails in Melbourne, and certainly brown spirits and that prohibition vibe's been really strong. And we think, you know, our sort of customer wants something a little bit fresher, a bit lighter, a bit more clean, and white spirits like gin and vodka. And particularly the G&T, and being a pom myself, I thought, I've got to do something which sort of represents bit of my heritage, and gin and tonic, and we've got some incredible gins being made now in Australia and Tasmania and Kangaroo Island, parts of South Australia, even Victoria. You can have Australian gin, which is really world class. We're infusing the tonics, making our own tonic with fruits and herbs and infusions from the Pram Market, so that's quite interesting too. So yeah, good beverage program, quality beverage program. There's a lot of dive bars in the area and a lot of pubs. So we want to sort of do something which is a bit more considered. So you can still, you know, kick back and have fun, but not feel so overwhelmed.
That's great. It's interesting you mentioned the gin too. I love a good proper gin and tonic, and especially on a hot day. And, you know, we're in the process of actually doing some planning for the next chocolate festival at the Paran Market. And one of the things I wanted to do was a gin and chocolate pairing.
Great idea.
Yeah, and it's something, one of those things that a lot of people would think is crazy to do, but it's actually something that I think would work really well.
Yeah, chocolate and spice is terrific, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And the whole process of distilling gin is quite interesting. It's just like making tea, really.
Exactly right.
Just on a larger scale.
Yes,
so it's quite fascinating what you can do with the flavors.
Four Pillars in the Yarra Valley, they make a gin with Seville oranges.
Yes.
And the flavors are amazing, especially if you have a Negroni, which is sort of based around that sort of bittersweet flavor profile. So yeah, there's some really interesting spirits out there.
Yeah, it's incredible. About just getting back to the process of creating a new restaurant concept in an empty space, basically. You know, what would you say would be your favorite part, and maybe your least favorite part of that process, or the start to finish of that?
It's sort of making a dead space work is probably the most interesting, exciting part of it. And you look for inspiration in the areas and to give you sort of a food identity. And I suppose I was blessed by having the Pram Market as sort of the inspiration, if you like. And you walk through the Prayer Market, I personally get overwhelmed with all the sort of abundance of produce and all the varieties of different ethnic foods, and I leave there with 10 bags, you know, wanting for one thing. And I wanted to sort of create a restaurant a bit like that. So it's sort of, you walk in the restaurant, and there's lots of visual activity from different stations. There's a wood rotisserie bar. There's a wonderful crustacea bar. There's a working wine wall. There's a 6-meter cocktail bar. There's an indoor-outdoor element. So as you walk in this space, and you're really a bit, not confused, but you almost, every time you come back to the space, you'll have a different experience. And so seeing that sort of come to life and seeing customers sort of celebrate it, I think will be the most rewarding part of it.
Yeah.
And just, you know, seeing a shell turn into this beautiful sort of hospitality sort of venue is sort of, you know, very satisfying.
I guess it's such a process too. It there's so many things to think about. I mean, from you know, power supplies to the floor finishes.
Big time.
You know, it can be quite overwhelming, I'd imagine.
we're lucky we don't have too many residents in our area directly above us, so we weren't sort of challenged like some restaurateurs are. Yeah. But certainly plumbing was a massive issue. The rest, that space hasn't been utilised in its entirety for 20 years.
Right.
And electrics as well, once we realised the power we needed, that was like another sort of 4 months to develop the right power grid. And
right.
So yeah, lots of hurdles and things you don't expect. And we just have to sort of stick to your guns and make sure you've got deep pockets, essentially.
And keep your eye on the end game there, really. That's the other part of that, too. And, and I guess, like I said, the most favorite part is when your doors are open and you're doing what you set out to do and people are there and enjoying it and enjoying the space that you created and seeing that vision come to fruition.
That's why we do what we do, I think, Tad. It's all about that sort of... exchange with a customer and the acknowledgement of your work. We sort of crave it, pardon the pun, we're obsessed about what we do, and so we really need that validation. And restaurateurs, obviously the commercial ventures, but you do it because you want to add something to the sort of community, you want to add something to a design story, you want to train people who have been loyal to you, and you want them to increase their knowledge and go further in their career. So there's a lot of things you do it for. Mostly, you're a small business, you want to become, a successful business, but you also want to give something back to the community, I think.
Yeah, and there's a lot of flow on from that, too, and not just to the direct employees, but to the growers and to everybody that's involved from that whole process of selecting produce and going through, and it just sort of creates a bit of a nice cycle.
There's so many people involved with the restaurant. You know, when the Stokehouse burnt down, it wasn't just that restaurant that was affected. It was all the suppliers, all the farmers.
Right.
There's so many people involved with the big restaurant, and so many people rely on its success. So it's a huge responsibility, and so you have to have a lot of sort of dedication and make sure that you're not selfish and you're thinking about your customer all the time.
Yeah. All right, we need to take another quick break, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ Community Radio Station, Joy 94.9.
We are back with Paul Wilson in the studio. Paul, it's a tradition on this show that all chefs that come in, we ask the difficult question of what is your secret food shame?
Secret food shame? I don't know if I have one. I suppose... If I'm ever hungover, which does happen a fair bit, I have to say, when I'm working in the restaurant, because you always have a knockoff drink, then a one too many, and before you know it. Anyway, instant noodles, I pimp mine up a fair bit.
Yeah.
I use chicken stock instead of water, and I always have some beautiful scallions and some nice sort of broccoli, and add some vegetables to it, so I feel less guilty. But a good bowl of noodles is a cure for any hangover, let me tell you.
That's perfect. I'll have to try that next time, although I don't get out much. But getting back to your new book, Taqueria, am I saying that right?
Taqueria. It's all about the Ria, they tell me.
Yeah. that's good. what is your... this is your third book, is that right?
It's my third book, second Mexican book, and... it's sort of focusing on the things which we love, like the tacos. They say a taco is the sort of knife, fork, spoon, plate, serviette of Mexico. Without tacos, you can't really eat Mexican food. And in Australia, we eat wheat flour tacos, which are like having sort of, I don't know, like Mighty White, really thin and round, and it's not particularly authentic or delicious. And there's a chap in Kensington, Gerard Lopez, who makes this incredible tortillas with nixtamal corn. He's a New Yorker like yourself, and he was an academic, and he worked for Deloitte, and he's climbed Mount Everest, and he fell in love with an Australian lady, moved back to Melbourne, and saw a gap in the market, and he was frustrated by Australian tortillas, and so he's made perfect fermented corn tortillas, and that process is called nixtamal, and you can buy his tortillas at La Tortilla, and they are like unbelievable.
That's incredible.
Yeah, the flavors are incredible. So we focus on him and his tacos, some beautiful salads, some great drinks. There's amazing drinks in this food culture too, like margaritas. I mean, how good's a margarita? I mean,
who doesn't like a margarita?
And we do a few flavors, a few riffs on margaritas with different fruits, and guacamole. And the guacamole is like the go-to dish for everyone.
Sure.
And you can make guacamole guacamole with anything, really. Sweet potatoes, pumpkins. You can put different toppings. You can really pimp them up and make them extraordinary or super healthy, whatever you want to do. You could add bacon to them and all sorts of naughty things, too. So it's really sort of taking the guac to a new level for the home cook.
Right. And, again, being my background in engineering, I like to know about the process of things and how, like in the mind, how you think of it. You know, what's the most favorite part of the writing of the book from your point of view?
It's finding sort of chapters which take people on a bit of a journey, I think, and how the book is designed and the styling is very important. I think, unfortunately, because we live in a digital age, people sort of don't buy as cookbooks like they used to.
Yeah.
So you've got to make them really colourful and beautiful, and you've got to have chapters which connect to the market you're trying to sort of appeal to. So I suppose all that research, all that study, and then talking to the design team, coming up with a sort of process for the actual shoot. The actual sort of process is the most exciting thing, and then you see the finished product and you go, well, that was an idea one day and now it's on a shelf, you know. It's very sort of satisfying.
And what sort of time frame from start to finish, from the concept through to the being on the shelf, how long does that normally take?
Minimum 6 months, I suggest. And we had this one quickly, and I had a lot of material from my last book, so the publisher was keen, and they gave me a month.
Really?
And publishers are like publishers and divorce lawyers are very similar. And, you know, there's no mercy there. And no. so you don't muck around, let me tell you.
I can't believe they gave you a month to create this amazing book. That's, you know, what if you got writer's block or something? Or, you know, what do?
You get in trouble, basically.
Yeah. So it's either do it or not. That's it. At the end of the day. Is it hard sometimes to come up with new recipes? I mean, you know, when you're talking about a whole cookbook, and obviously you're putting in there things that you would obviously enjoy yourself. You know, is it difficult to try to find, you know, new recipes to put into like a, you know, obviously the cuisine is the same as the your previous book. How do you deal with that?
I sort of, produce is my sort of inspiration.
Yeah.
So I go to the markets and farmers markets and even the supermarkets, as much as I reluctantly sort of go to supermarkets, but you've got to understand what people can buy.
Yeah.
And so you have ingredients you know they can get their hands on. Then you take it, you dial it back and go, so how do I make a dish out of this?
Right.
How can I sort of convert this into something which is interesting and quick to cook and has a Mexican accent?
Right.
So that's basically the process. It's starting with the ingredients. And the ingredients here in Australia, they inspire you. And, you know, when you travel through Mexico, and travel is really important. Once you travel for a foreign country, you come back full of ideas. You've been exposed to so many new things. So I think that process of traveling and then produce, and then that gets your creative juices flowing. Yeah.
Yeah, and the ingredients are different too. And that's why I guess in Mexico, you might have some, you know, a certain taco that tastes a certain way, and I guess you may not necessarily be able to replicate that in Australia because we don't have that ingredient, or it's not, you know, it's not grown the same way. That sort of thing that comes into it, and
Right. Yeah, there's always something similar though, and Mexican food. I mean, I believe that it was one of the first food cultures, and because of the Spanish and the Spanish conquistadors, they sort of travelled through the whole of the world and gave us these ingredients, and food was traded as a currency. And so you'll see a lot of similarities in Southeast Asian food culture that you will in Mexican. So you find things at an Asian market you would find in a Mexican market.
Yeah.
So it's just knowing where to look, you'll find these things.
Right. Okay. We're going to take another quick break and hear from some of our sponsors.
Cars, cooking, cruises, we have it all. Weekends on Joy 94.9.
Welcome back. This is Cravings, and again, we've got Chef Paul Wilson in the studio with us. Paul, when does the restaurant open?
Well, we're doing this three stages, so that a little hole in the wall we're calling the Tuck Shop that opens March the 1st. Then the Lifestyle Cafe, April, so that's table service.
Yep.
Breakfast and lunch, 5 days. And then we're opening the whole business for 7 days. Basically, the bar and the dining room will be open, as well as the cafe and the tuck shop. So that'd be May.
And then it's a big holiday for you after that?
That's right. I'll be on a beach somewhere. No, I won't be. I'll be in the kitchen and making sure everything's delicious.
Oh, that's good. And a well-deserved holiday because, like I said, I've seen the whole process of the restaurant being built and the the pain and suffering that that includes. It's like birthing a child, isn't it?
It's very much so, yes.
Not that I know, but I just can only imagine. And that would be without an epidural.
Right. Very well said, yeah.
Yeah, it's... The whole concept is going to be amazing. I can't wait to see it when it's completely finished and everything's, you know, nice and shiny. And it's going to be great, not just for the market. It's going to be great for Commercial Road. And I think it's going to be great for Melbourne. We've got another incredible restaurant to come and enjoy. And that's really exciting.
Thanks, Tad. Well, look, we're looking forward to sort of welcoming everyone very soon. I know it's been a long time coming, but it'll be worth it, trust me. And it'll be like an institution for you, know, hopefully. So we look forward to seeing you all very soon.
Yeah, well, they say, you know, nothing good comes easy. And as awful as that is while you're going through it, it is true. You know, the hard work does pay off in the end. And you've got something that can, you know, basically be proud of. So it's a testament to your team as well that you have and the people that you have around you and your wife.
My wife sitting next to me.
Sitting next to you, staring your wife. But it's true.
No, there is so many people to thank, and certainly there'll be more people to thank when we open. It's a sort of the race starts. You finish one, you start another one.
Yes.
What a great opportunity. We're very excited.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, like I said, I think it's going to be one of those places to watch, and I agree with the Gourmet Traveler that it's going to be one of the most anticipated openings in 2017, and it's going to be quite an incredible experience, and I'm looking forward to being a part of that. So it's going to be great for our food culture, which is really what Melbourne's known for. We are going to be going to hand over the tools to the Escape Pod, and we will see you next week, same time, same place.
Thanks for listening to another Cravings podcast with Pete Dillon, online at joy.org.au/cravings and live Saturdays from 1 p.m. on Joy 94.9 in Melbourne. Exploring all that's finest in food and beverage across Melbourne and Victoria. Sponsored by La Spaghettata. Over 35 years of food, family and fun at 238 Lygon Street, Carlton. Wine and dine with La Spaghettata for an authentic Italian experience. Pasta, wine, seafood, steak and so much more. Dine in and enjoy the authentic sights and sounds of Lygon Street. Or order takeaway now via Deliveroo, Uber Eats or Foodora. Eat, drink, love with La Spaghettata. Call 9663-6102. Visit laspaghettata.com.au or find them on Facebook.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.